Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're listening to The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
Wow, that was a brief little thing there. It's just, it's just me.
Process said, let's get down to business.
Yeah, he's not messing around here.
No.
But it is Jeff Greer sitting in for Bobby V today here. We are down at the Kentucky Derby Museum at Churchill Downs. Of course, that wonderful voice, the sweet dulcet tones of one Patty Ice for at least a half hour.
I prefer sexy, not
sexy?
Sweet.
Okay.
I mean, I need to be looked.
He's out there, man.
Yeah, I'm out there now, and I need to be hyped up. I need confidence. I'm out here trying to live my best life. I'm taking the old playbook from career when he became single. All right, I'm trying to live my best life, so I don't want to be told I'm sweet. Sweet and nice guys finish last, right?
Oh boy,
you like that, don't you? I'm happy to be out here, bro. We got a lot to get into, and you know, it's funny because we've been out here 1,000 times, and you never ever, it never gets old seeing all the cool memorabilia, all the trophies from in the past. Such a really, really cool place. And I know ESPN Louisville, we've had like 1,000 events here at the Kentucky Derby Museum that, you know, somebody has sponsored and we've promoted, whatever. But regardless, Jeff, I always love coming out here. And my favorite thing ever, I think, that's ever happened in terms of at the Kentucky Derby Museum with ESPN Louisville was when Diener had Mark Blakenbaker. They've got the simulator where you can call your own derby race. And Mark Blakenbaker did one live on the air.
Was it good?
And he just starts screaming.
Oh, God.
And can you imagine? Imagine at 7:30 in the morning, Mark Blakenbaker screaming a simulated horse race, and you've got all these old people walking around. They're probably thinking, what the hell's wrong with him?
Trust me, they're not the only ones that have ever thought that.
They were dunked into the sheriff machine right away. That's significant. But no, we are down here at the Derby Museum for NWSL Championship Media Day. Of course, kickoff on Saturday at Lynn Family Stadium at 12 o'clock. If you want to watch it on TV, it's on CBS starting at 11:30, which CBS locally is what, WLKY, correct? Am I correct in that? I think that's the right affiliate. I always get them all mixed up.
I'm with you.
But WLKY for the NWSL Championship, that will be starting at 12 o'clock between the Washington Spirit and the Chicago Red Stars, a couple of teams that, by the way, Racing Louisville defeated this season. So
nice.
A little feather in the cap of the home team. They're past 9,000 tickets sold as of Tuesday, so they are trying to hoping to break the stadium's attendance record, which was 12,115.
They're close
with tickets sold alone, and you got to figure that there will be more coming here because Louisville plays tonight. Louisville football plays tonight. They've got Detroit Mercy in the afternoon on Saturday, so a lot of local people will be looking for something to do. It's might as well start your full day bender with a soccer game and then head to the basketball game and then continue the rest of your day and have yourself a good time. And, of course, in addition to Media Day, tomorrow they've got press conferences and everything, but the big thing that people around here are hoping that we'll get a big crowd for even if you're not a soccer fan, you might as well come on down to the big block party with free food, live music from 5 to 9 tomorrow night in the surface lot besides the Butchertown Market building. That address, 1201 Story Avenue. It's going to be a big party. There's going to be music. There's going to be a chance to bring a non-perishable item or make a small donation, a Dare to Care. There's a lot of stuff going on, a couple of food trucks, so it should be fun. I'm hoping to stop by tomorrow night as well and just enjoy the environment leading up to the championship game on Saturday. Louisville men's soccer in the NCAA tournament. They're playing tonight. Louisville women's basketball ripped off a couple of wins, very comfortable wins the last two nights. And as I said, we got Louisville basketball coming up on Saturday, getting ready for that big trip to the Bahamas. But, Pat, we want to start with Duke on tap for Louisville. And we were kind of talking before the show, look, I mean, bottom line is Duke's not very good.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Anytime you're playing a team, it's your second to last game of the year, and you're trying to end the season beating your rival, the one thing you want to do is go out there and absolutely dismantle this team, especially if they're that bad. Keep in mind, Duke has only won three games on the year. They have six losses in the conference. They are the worst team in the ACC. But when you've got Kentucky next week, you've got some momentum, you finally played a complete game against Syracuse in all four quarters. I mean, hell, even the third string guys, Jeff, they were getting pressure on Syracuse's first string offensive line last week. And that's what kind of stood out to me, is that this Louisville football team, everybody played well. Every single person on the team played well on Saturday. And it was just an unreal thing for us to see, because the consistent trend up to that point was Louisville football cannot close out a game. I mean, how many times this year? Clemson, 17 points in the fourth quarter. Virginia, 21 points in the fourth quarter. And then obviously NC State, where you couldn't score anything, your defense couldn't get off the field, and that was the trend in Clemson as well. Mm-hmm. But regardless, you had all those things. You had all the reasons to think that this team was dejected. After the Clemson game, Malik Cunningham was the most dejected I've ever heard or seen him, and I've covered Malik
and
for 3 years now.
And he had that tweet after the game.
Yes, yeah, the tweet as well that said, look, at this point, I don't know how to feel. Mm. And it had a lot of us concerned. And even before the Clemson game, there wasn't a lot of context behind this. Malik Cunningham's mom sat down with Ethan Moore, live from the alley, and he asked her straight up. He's like, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and if you don't want to answer, that's fine, but what's the chances that Malik Cunningham returns to Louisville and 2022. And she said right now it's 50-50. She didn't really say what the parameters were. That was it. But I think that's more of him trying to play his way to the NFL. And if things aren't going well and if there's an opportunity, I could see that. But here's my opinion on this. If Louisville can string together a few wins here, finish out the year 8-5, you're going to go in to 2022 with an opportunity to be one of the front runners for ACC Player of the Year. Louisville's going to come to the season ranked because they have a cupcake schedule next season, and the minimum should be 8 wins. Like, that should be the expectation. And if you can think about this, here's the thing. With the way that name, image, and likeness and the one-time transfer rule is set up in the transfer portal, you're going to see a lot of surprise transfers everywhere. And there's going to be a lot of schools that would love to have the talents of Malik Cunningham to make their offense more dynamic, right? My take is, right now, Vince Tyree, I understand that this is real world here. I'm talking about the real world. What's really going to happen, Jeff? I mean, we know that these schools behind the scenes, even though that they can't, quote-unquote, set up these name, image, and likeness deals, you better make sure you've got something in place that keeps him happy and that makes him want to stay here. And essentially, here's the thing. Even if he barely makes a practice squad and whatever is like a 5th, 7th round pick, I mean, that's where he's going to be projected. Mm-hmm. That's the outlook in the NFL for him. Make it to where he'd make more money at Louisville than going pro. That way, there's more tangible things for him to stay at Louisville. I think name, image, and likeness has really changed the game for a lot of these guys that are maybe projected to go in the back end of the draft that might say, you know what, I've been here 3 years, I'm ready to go. I've been here 4 years, I don't want to use the COVID year, the extra year of eligibility. Name, image, and likeness changes the game. And we're still learning a lot about this as well, Jeff. But, no, that's kind of where I'm at with this football team. I really feel like tonight against Duke, go out there, handle Duke like you did Syracuse in the first half, rest your starters, rest all your premier players on your team. That way you have more time. And think about that. That's back-to-back weeks where you only played 4 out of 8 quarters with your starters. You alleviate from having to deal the risk of wear and tear. Like, don't make this game close. Make it easy on yourself. Do what you did last week. You're playing a defense that's much worse than Syracuse's, and you scored on 5 of your first 6 drives. Do that again this week. Make it easy on yourself. Wrap this thing up and use these next 8 to 9 days to get healthy. Don't really overdo it and just focus on Kentucky and get ready for what should be a hell of a rivalry game at Cardinal Stadium with Louisville having a lot to play for. And essentially, if you just absolutely dismantle Duke tonight, think about all the momentum this fan base is going to have. It's going to be unreal going to the Kentucky game. You're going to have the best showing you've had from your fan base all year.
You would think.
You would hope.
It's just, to me, it's been hard all season to really care. I mean, they're 5-5. Malik Cunningham is entertaining. I know that they've had their best quarterback pressure that they've had in a while now with the sacks. We were talking about that. I think it's 4 of the last 5 games they've had at least 3 sacks. They had 5 against Syracuse. And this Duke team, I mean, I'm just reading the AP preview story of this. And listen to this, Pat. They haven't won since beating Kansas on September 25th. Kansas is horrible. Their only close game in the ACC was a 31-27 loss to Georgia Tech on October 9th. 4 subsequent defeats have been by an average of 35.5 points.
Wow.
They are bad.
Yes.
And, you know, Louisville's got to slam on early. Take full advantage of the opportunity then to have the weekend off. You're playing early in the week. Run away with it. Get some of your younger guys like Huggins Bruce, who's been really, really good.
Yeah.
Cooley. I mean, get some of these guys more and more opportunities to get the ball in their hands and see what they can do and build that depth going into next year. As you said, we've been talking about, they've got a lot coming back.
And this is a return to home game for Cooley as well, going back to State North Carolina. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of things you can do in that regard. But a name you brought up there, Amari Huggins-Bruce, I don't want to say he hit like a freshman wall, but he got a little stagnant. He got a little stagnant. He was struggling at times. A lot of mental mistakes for him, at least in Clemson. I know he had 1 penalty in that one, if I remember the top of my head. And, you know, even in the game against NC State, you know, they didn't really go to him a lot. I mean, he kind of hit a freshman wall. But last week, to have the day he had, to be as productive as he was consistently, that was nice. Jordan Watkins and Harrell are really starting to show themselves as the guys that are going to consistently be your contributor next year. And for me, I still think that Braden Smith can be the best overall wide receiver in terms of production for Louisville. I mean, Harrell, man, if he can do something besides just a deep ball, and they could use his speed consistently where he can get open really quick and just, you know, just chip away, right? Like, kind of like what they've done with Watkins this year, I think he could be the most complete wide receiver. Is he a guy that can really jump up and go get the ball? No. They don't really have that. I mean, they kind of had that with Justin Marshall, but not too much. And obviously, Marshawn Ford, a name we haven't even brought up, a guy that when they've needed him to make a play, he's done that. And, you know, against Clemson, this one I know is probably still bothering him. He had a ball right out in front of him. He got one hand on it, couldn't bring the other one in, and that was a big play, a big miss. And there were some other plays that were made where Louisville was able to come back and, you know, make that game competitive. And I'm with you. I understand that this is a team that obviously is 5-5. It's been a week-by-week thing. 1 week, it's like they show you, like, what can be, how special this team can be. And you remember that Malik is this unreal guy, and this offensive line is drastically improved. I mean, they've been teetering right around the top 15 in the country in tackles for loss this year, Jeff, where last year they were dead last.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. Incredible improvement. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they gave up a single sack last week, if I remember correctly. I'd have to look at the stat sheet. But, I mean, there's just so much growth that we saw last week when really they had every reason to not show growth. They had every reason to quit and give up and not be dialed in, and they just went out there in front of Lamar Jackson in the all-black uniforms in a blackout and dismantled Syracuse from start to finish. And it had every hit that it showed us that Syracuse was going to have a good game. They were coming off a bye week. You know, Sean Tucker needed 105 yards to break the single season record for rushing yards in the game. They held him to 99, and they fed him the ball late to try to break that record, and there was nothing they could do. Louisville played that well, even with the second and third stringers late in the game, Jeff.
Yeah.
I think it's really compelling, and you could do the same thing tonight against a much worse team on national television.
Yeah. I mean, and a team that doesn't have Tucker, doesn't have Garrett Schrader, who has been sort of a revelation for them. He was terrible again. I mean, well, they bottled him up against Louisville.
Right.
But he's my fantasy quarterback.
Really? In college football? I love that. That's funny.
He was my replacement for Phil Jerkovich, who was hurt for Boston College and is only just back these last couple of games. But
he's played very well, by the way.
He has. Last week I had him on the bench.
There he is. Schrader, brutal.
Schrader had like 3 yards total. And it's Jerkovic, right? Jerkovic had like 5 touchdowns.
I think it's a soft J.
Jerkovic.
I can't remember. I don't really
talk about
it.
Is it Yogging?
Exactly. Good. You got my reference.
Yogging.
I have no idea. It might be a soft J.
But just to go back to Huckins Bruce real quick, who is also on my fantasy team.
that's why you brought him
games,
up.
No, but last two games, you go back to the Virginia game and then Syracuse. His last two games, I know that's a long split between them, 10 receptions, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns. Pretty good. So he's a guy, people can get excited about and start thinking about him in future terms. But I did think it was interesting, and Scott Satterfield said this, after that Syracuse game, was we feel like we've been close to putting it all together, and that's what you've been talking about.
Yeah.
It was good to finally put it all together and feel like things were clicking. And this is the part of the schedule we have talked about coming into the season. Hey, even if you drop some of the games that they have ended up dropping between NC State, Clemson, the games that I think people expected them to lose or at least thought were probably tilted in the other direction.
Right.
These are the games they're expected to win to get themselves in position for the postseason and put themselves in a good spot mentally, confidence-wise, coming into the rivalry game, which increasingly around here with both of these teams being like 7 and 8 win teams is really the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm a basketball guy. I like college football. I watch it every weekend. My alma mater is good this year, so it's even more fun. But, like, what are we playing
Kenny
for
Pickett.
Here? Yeah, Kenny Pickett's awesome. But, like, what are we playing for here?
I mean, for Kentucky, I think for them, the big thing is right now you face New Mexico State. They're going to dismantle them. Like, they're going to absolutely destroy them. And, you know, right now you're 7-3. They're playing for a 9-1 season, and not even a 9-1 season. If you can get past Louisville, get that 9th win, you go to the bowl game, and you can potentially win 10 games twice under Mark Stoops. Keep in mind, Kentucky winning 10 games in a football season, that doesn't happen. I guess it just really gives you a lot of momentum for next year. But the thing is, they're going to be losing a lot of dudes. I mean, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, Kentucky once again is going to be losing some guys to the draft, and I like Pascal a lot. By the way, man, I think he is a hell of a player. And you know, every time I watch Kentucky, I don't ever leave a game where I don't have a highlight or something that stands out to me about that guy right there.
Yep.
And you know,
and a great story too.
Yeah, incredible story coming back from cancer, and really the year that they were so damn good with Josh Allen, and they had all these Edwards, they had all these different members of the defense that had so much NFL talent, and that season, that's when all hell broke loose for him. And he had all the issues with cancer, and he was just trying to battle back for him to finally get, you know, his chance at a 10-win season to do something that really hasn't really essentially been done consistently at Kentucky. Win 10 games in a season. Like, that's just a much bigger deal for them than people think. That would have been like if Indiana would have had a normal year last year, that's something that they would have strived for, Jeff. And it just doesn't happen at programs like Kentucky and Louisville. So that's not Kentucky and Indiana. So that's what they're they're playing for, at least for Kentucky. Now, Louisville right now, this is all about playing for the future, in my opinion. You know, but you're 5-5 on the year. You can finish out the season getting 8 to 8 wins. That is your best bet. And for 2022 at that point, you got to be all in on having an incredible year. At minimum, winning 8 games with a cupcake schedule. It's going to be a lot softer than what it was this year. And another thing that stands out to me about next year, you have a young team right now. Think about all those dudes coming back. And that's the thing. Like, you know, I talked about this earlier, like when we opened the segment. Think about if you finish out the year with a ton of momentum, all the NIL deals you can get in place for these kids to get them to come back. And, you know, I saw one I hadn't seen yet. I'd seen the Malik Cunningham Planet Fitness billboard.
Yeah.
I've seen that one. I saw one on the way in today. Maybe I'm just blind and I don't pay attention to it every day when I drive it on 65. I saw 5 or 6 players on a billboard with Louisville on it, so that means that Louisville approved it. And Planet Fitness is a hand-in-hand, you know, corporate sponsor of the cards.
Basketball practice.
So
after him,
I saw that billboard and I was like, "All right, they're finally getting this thing rolling." And it looks like they've got a lot of these younger guys. You know, Ashton Scalati was one that was on there, a guy that is, I think, a lot of schools would try to snipe because he's young and he's shown that he's got potential. I mean, there was a handful of cards on that billboard, and I'm like, "Okay, Louisville is starting to get it, and they're starting to get these guys locked in there." And that's how you do it, right there. You get these guys a good chunk of change. And you continue to get those coming in. If you finish the year with some momentum, it's a lot easier to get boosters and to get people to invest in name, image, and likeness deals. That would make these guys want to stay, right? But if you play a close game against Duke tonight, you lose to Kentucky, and you get absolutely dog-walked at home, you know, it might be a little tough to convince some businesses to have some name, image, and likeness deals with some of these guys. At least that's how I see it.
And I do think the momentum factor for the program is important because it just has not felt...
Hey, guys, what are we talking about?
Like there's any juice. We're talking about football, Nick, but it just has not been juice. There's not excitement. The crowds are empty at the home games. I mean, it's people are commenting about it all the time on message boards.
Well,
they're worried about it, and they should be.
They should be worried, but my question is, Jeff, is that more of a national thing? Like, everybody's not going to the games? But
it's a combination of both. That is one thing. Like, everybody's, Louisville has nobody. Look at any game. There's nobody at any of them outside of, like, you can't compare Louisville to Texas A&M. You can't. You can't compare them to LSU. That's not feasible.
Yeah,
that's college football Saturdays in those communities have been an event that people literally, they don't get married around them because it's football season for like 3 months. And it's just a different deal in those places. That's what they have
going. It's a culture
around it. The tailgate is a culture in those environments. You can't compare it to that, but we're seeing nationally. The people were talking about the Kentucky game the other night in basketball. We're seeing a lot of people hesitant to go to stuff, and it's kind of been that way even before the pandemic because of the cost. It's preventive costs. It's hard to convince people to go to games. I think, and we're spitballing here, we're BSing a little bit about why we think it's theories, but I mean, if I have the opportunity to wear sweatpants and drink beers in my basement and watch TV on my 65-inch TV instead of going to a stadium and being cold and sitting near people who are yelling all the time and I'm annoyed by them, what are you going to pick? You're going to sit in the basement and eat your pizza and drink your beers with your buddies or by yourself.
No, you know me, I'm a bro, dude. I'm going to go to the ladder.
Go to the bar. I mean, going to the bar is more fun than going to games for me.
So here's the thing, that the way I see it. So early in the year when it was warm out and we could tailgate and go out there.
It's a different deal.
At Lucas Oil Stadium, I went to a couple Colts games.
How are they doing on that divisional chase, by the way? Well, I want to follow up with you after that.
Because
you were bullish.
Tennessee. Well, here's the thing. Tennessee is balled out. Tennessee is balled out, even the absence of Derrick Henry. And the Colts, man, my God. Can we talk about all
we looked at you with four eyes when you said that.
Man. I mean, last week, dude, I mean, cheese and rice. I mean, they're taking care of business in the first quarter against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And every year, they somehow find a way to lose to that team. And the Jaguars, man, they come out in the second half. They contain the Colts through a quarter and a half in the second half to 20 yards of offense. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to lose this game. They held on, Jeff Greer.
On the frozen tundras of Lucas Oil Stadium.
Thank God. They didn't open the roof. Nobody froze. They didn't open the roof. And you know what? Thank God for Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor. That is all those poor SOBs have rolling for them. And Carson Wentz has played really well. He's having his best year ever in the NFL in terms of completion percentage, yards. But regardless, I was wrong. They don't have a shot in hell winning that division.
That's all right. It's okay.
Tennessee playing great, man. And the Colts, dude, they just find a way to piss away games. Just find a way to just absolutely just look down at their leg and say, you know what, I could use the urinal, but you know what?
Oh,
I'm just going to let this thing go right down my leg.
Good Lord.
That's the Indianapolis Colts this year.
Does it pain you any more that the Bengals are good this year? Does it bother you that the Bengals are good when – I mean, those are really the two teams outside of where Teddy and Teddy Bridgewater and Lamar Jackson are playing. Those are the two most popular teams here for obvious reasons.
I like the Bengals, though. I've always had a soft spot for the Bengals.
I do, too. Yeah.
Because my mom grew up a massive Cincinnati Reds fan.
Oh,
and so, you know, my mom was really big on Cincinnati. Because keep in mind, my family is from Kentucky. And that's kind of like one reason why that led me back down here. And my mom grew up in Kentucky. I never was raised in Kentucky by any means. I spent my entire life in Indiana, but she was raised in Kentucky. So she's always been a Louisville fan. My uncles have been Kentucky fans. I don't really think I've talked about this much on the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're getting deep into the Patty Ice here.
My uncles are massive UK fans. And, you know, my mom's always been a Louisville fan. And it's one of those things where, for them, you know, dude, they didn't have a baseball team. And, you know, the Bats were always the AAA affiliate for the longest time, the Reds. And, you know, I think for my mom, for her, like, that was – Cincinnati was always a place we went to visit because, A, it was cheap. And, B, it was an hour and a half drive away from Indianapolis. So, going to the Reds games were a lot of fun. So, I've always had a soft spot, in short, for Cincinnati.
Okay.
I've always had a soft spot for the Bengals. And that stadium, I think it's low-key nice stadium. I think Cincinnati low-key has really nice facilities. Great American Ballpark. What did he say?
He said
Paul Brown Stadium. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I don't know. I went there when it was kind of cold and dingy and they were playing Washington. But.
Sorry, Nick. You've been gone like the entire time. So when I heard your voice, I was shocked to hear that you were alive.
I thought you dropped for a second. I was like, God, what did I do? But I don't know. No, it's a nice stadium. I just went on a dingy day, I guess.
Dingy guy on a dingy day.
Dingy. What the hell does dingy even mean?
I think he means like it was cloudy and kind of just.
Yeah, it just was kind of a meh. It was kind of
an overcast guy going to a game when it's overcast outside.
I thought I had
all
a pretty
right.
sunny disposition, but.
You do. You're a very sunny guy.
I love that. You called him a dingy guy. He's overcast guy.
No, if he shaves his beard, I don't know if we would recognize him, but I would imagine it to be a very sunny fellow.
Who's the most overcast person at ESPN?
Process.
Yes.
Well, it was Mitch before that, but
Mitch is super. Mitch is like a rainy day. Process is like threatening a thunderstorm.
Mitch is Eeyore. That is Mitch.
That's an insult to Eeyore, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, chill out.
And then Sweeney is like a tornado who just like rolls through and messes everything
causes
up
havoc.
Everyone. Yeah.
Spits takes and doesn't care who's in
the wreckage.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Grossman is just like a truly just delightful birds chirping.
Andy will make you bend the knee.
Well, Pat, thank you for coming in and chatting with us here. We're at the Derby Museum, and you can listen to Pat tonight, Louisville football looking to make it back-to-back wins tonight as they take on Duke. And ESPN Louisville is your pre- and post-game headquarters. Join Pat and Taylor Lynch from 6 to 7:30 on the Miller Lite pregame show on 93.9 The Ville. And then directly following the game, it's the Miller Lite postgame show with Mark Ennis, also on 93.9 The Ville, with the first place that will take your calls and texts. And you can hear live from Scott Satterfield. If it's Louisville football, we talk about it here on ESPN Louisville and the ESPN Louisville app. Look forward to hearing from you, buddy.
It's going to be fun. We're out at Bungalow Joe's today from 3 to 6 in the Miller Lite pregame show. We'll be there for some draft specials as well. I put this out there. For the pregame show, I ain't doing this from 3 to 6 the entire time. So I know some of you degenerates out there are going to take advantage of my kindness here. First couple to come out there, we did this early in the year at Khalil's for the Miller Lite pregame show. First round's on me.
Wow. Yeah. Patty Ice, generous.
Oh, that's awesome, Patty.
My goodness.
Yep. Are you going to chug a
Nick's
beer?
Nick's going to leave yes. the studio at 2:30 and show up at Bungalow.
Look, some
just
of
with a fake mustache. Hey, I'm Vic Nalvano. Let's get a...
We have a really nice chairman out for Khalil's. We had Andy Not Sweeney, who calls into the drive a lot, and Louisville Sports Live caller Dennis as well. They came out there. We're out at Khalil's, and I'm hoping we get a couple. We have quite a few people out there for a Bungalow Joe's as well from 6 to 7:30. And like I said, I ain't doing this for everybody. The first couple to show up and to say, what's up? I'll be glad to buy you a beer.
There you go.
Right. You support us and our sponsors. I want to say thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's very exciting. Well, thank you for stopping in. We got Kent Spencer coming up at 12:40, so we'll take a break here. We're going to get into some Louisville hoops. We'll talk a little bit more football with Kent, obviously, and just keep on rolling here on the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Miss anything from your favorite ESPN Louisville show? Check out the Podcast Center on the brand new ESPN Louisville smartphone app or on iTunes and SoundCloud.
You're listening to the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
What an intro song for Kent Spencer. That is truly delightful. It is true. I am Jeff Greer here for Bobby V today. And, you know, the intro, the return rejoin guy from Kansas City saying my name. First time I've heard anyone make my last name two syllables. But here we are nevertheless. We're down at the Derby Museum getting ready for NWSL Championship.
At least he says your name. At least he says your name, Jeff.
Jeff Greer.
Greer. Yeah, I've been cut from the liner. That was cool.
Yeah, I don't know. That was process. That wasn't me. I'm just sitting here with a little thing in front of me here. I got nothing
process.
Else.
The dingiest man of ESPN.
I just said I'm sitting here with a little thing in front of me. Yeah. No, I'm sitting here in front of the Comrex with a laptop, and there's literally no one around. Pat left me. I'm around a bunch of horse statues. Who knows what could go wrong here with all of this. The NWSL is excited to welcome fans to Louisville for the 2021 NWSL Championship presented by Budweiser. As part of the celebration, fans are invited to attend the Butchertown Block Party on Friday evening, all presented by MasterCard, just a few steps away from Lynn Family Stadium, where Saturday's championship match will be played. It's open to the public, free food, live music, and a chance to meet and greet NWSL players. The event runs from 5 to 9 on the surface lot besides the Butchertown Market Building on Story Avenue. But we are now joined by Kent Spencer from WHAS. Kent, I owe you a phone call, buddy. How are you?
Good, buddy. Hey, you know what? I love how we are staying right on point with this show. You play my intro music, and then you get to me in 5 minutes after that.
Yeah,
I
that's
think
how
that's
we
good.
Do it. Yeah, that's really nice. I'm glad you can
also,
listen to my reads.
And also, like, as much as I love being known as the Shandy Man, when the Candy Man plays, I sit back and I start thinking, do people think that I deal drugs?
That's fair. Well, Kent, I got to
you don't?
Tell you, No, he does not. He is an upstanding citizen.
That's a negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern of school.
He's got kids. He can't do that. Kent, I got to tell you, I got into the car, got picked up from the airport on Monday from our weekend in Arizona, and my father-in-law said, did you enjoy the desert golf? I said, yes. And he said, I've been thinking all weekend how your game is not built for desert golf. And unfortunately, he's right. And unfortunately, I did not run into any rattlesnakes picking up my ball this weekend. I didn't see any. I desperately hoped to see one from a distance on Sunday morning when we played out in Tucson. But no such luck, buddy. So I'm sorry to report that back.
Well, I know. No, look, I'm glad that you weren't bitten by a rattlesnake in the middle of the desert. And hopefully you were smart. You hit the ball in the desert. Just go pick it out and place it back into the grass where you're supposed to be playing.
No, I just let them stay in the desert and didn't go get them. I lost.
Okay, good.
I lost
good.
About I think three boxes of balls. It was pretty bad.
That's probably the best move.
Yeah, that's the best move. Well, tonight, Kent, Louisville football trying to get to six wins for this season. And honestly, coming into the campaign, it was kind of the expectation that they would be right about here, give or take a win or two, possibly if they were really playing well. But this is a chance to get to those six wins against a team in Duke that, for all intents and purposes, I mean, Louisville should win this game comfortably. What are you looking for in tonight's contest down in Durham?
For me, honestly, it's just about focus, like, you know, making sure that they're dialed in for this game. Last week went so well for them against Syracuse and, you know, Lamar Jackson's jersey retirement ceremony and, you know, the juice that they were able to get from that. Like, it's so good. And Scott Satterfield kind of said it this week, like, Duke, you know, Duke's a much better team at home than they are on the road. So if they come in and they're dialed in, then they're going to take care of business. And if not, then, you know, sometimes you never know with these kind of games. Anything can happen. But I think that it's really important for them to kind of get that sixth win this week and just ensure themselves bowl eligibility.
Is there do you feel like last weekend can be a what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a soothe-all performance that will give them that a little bit more of that confidence coming into a game like this where, I mean, Duke is worse than Syracuse, but they played really, really well last weekend, and you got to figure that will give them at least a better feeling of confidence and mentality going into a similar-ish game against a weak opponent.
No, I am a believer in that. Like, I do think that, like, what they were able to do both offensively and defensively, and, you know, they really played, and this has been such a kind of a hot-button thing this year, is, you know, last week they really played complementary football where kind of both units were looking out for each other and helping each other out. So, no, I'm a huge believer in athletic confidence. Like, when you have it, you know, you can run through a brick wall. When you don't, you know, you can't, you know, chew gum and walk at the same time. It's just a different deal. I think that this is something that could, you know, last week is something that could catapult them the rest of the way, and that can be a good thing. But that being said, you know, that kind of stuff can go away as quick as it comes. So that's why, you know, for me tonight, it's about them being focused. It's about them being dialed in on the task at hand and taking care of business. Not, you know, so I think the start of this game is going to be so important. You know, the first, you know, quarter and a half, you know, what do they look like in that quarter and a half, which I think will dictate a lot.
Let's switch gears then, Kent. Talk a little hoop. You know, Kentucky's playing New Mexico State, so that you would think that would be a victory as well for them. Let's talk a little hoops, though. Kentucky playing Ohio. Sneaky tough matchup against a good Ohio squad coming into this season. Obviously, they had lost a guy who was kind of a media darling before the NCAA tournament in Jason Preston, but they seem to be a good squad. Do you feel... How do you feel about the Cats after they lose their season opener and bounce back with a couple of wins that they were expected to get?
Look, I think any team that is mixing in a lot of players, you know, it's one thing to do it, and I think that we've seen the same thing with Louisville basketball, right? Like, if you're mixing in a bunch of transfers, and you know what? I'm going to throw in another school that you kind of seen it with. I think you saw it with Texas at Gonzaga. Like, you know, it's great that you've had a bunch of practices together and you're familiar with each other, but until you get out there and kind of go through that process with a whole bunch of new teammates, you know, sometimes that's going to take a little bit of time to get adjusted. I actually think Kentucky has been a little better each and every time out, as far as, you know, how they're playing and other guys and getting in. So, I mean, I don't think that, you know, I think that they'll win tomorrow night. I mean, Oscar Tshiebwe, to be quite honest, he's been better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people thought he was going to be pretty good, but he's been a lot better than I thought he was going to be. And I actually like Calipari's strategy the other day when he said, you know, we put plays in for him at the beginning because we want him to be able to take those mid-range jumpers with confidence. So we just called plays for him to do that. You know, like, he had to do it. Like, we're not giving him that decision. We forced him to do it, and he made it. And so now he can kind of believe in himself when it comes to that stuff. But, man, he's just an animal on the glass and how he pursues the ball.
Kent, I'm gonna read this off to you here, just as a reminder, and I know people who've been watching will know this. He is currently fifth in the country in the, and I know it's only a couple games in. We're nine days into this new season, but Oscar Tshiebwe is fifth in the Ken Pom Player of the Year Awards, which is obviously dictated heavily by efficiency. Dude's rebounding totals, 19, 20, 16. But the thing I'm most impressed by is he's shooting 61.5% on two-pointers. I mean, it's like offensive rebounding percentage is the highest in the country. I mean, he has really lived up to and surpassed what we thought he would be. I kind of just assumed he would be, you know, not necessarily nearly as limited as a guy like someone who plays like Dennis Rodman. I'm not saying he's Dennis Rodman, but when Rodman was at his best, he was scoring maybe 4-6 points a game, but getting 15 rebounds. I thought Oscar Tshiebwe would have more than that in scoring, but I really thought everyone else around him would be the scorers, and he would be the kind of the mop up guy who got putbacks and just was the interior guy for them. But showing off that offensive skill set really has changed the way their offense looks.
And, you know, he actually kind of, he touched on this. He was like, look, you know, everybody's paying a lot of attention to my other teammates, which is leaving me kind of one-on-one, you know, down low, so I've kind of been able to do my thing. And he's like, look, when they start paying more attention to me, my teammates will be open, and then they'll start getting a bunch of their shots. You know, I think that's a great mindset to kind of have is, you know, however the game is going to go, that's how I'm going to play. I'm like, I'm not forcing myself to be this or that. With him, you know, it's not the fact that he did it against Mount St. Mary's. It's not the, you know, but it was the fact that, you know, he had 17 and 20 against Duke. And I think that's a pretty, like, you know, that's a pretty good Duke front line that they've got. They've got, a ton of size that they can throw at you. For him to get 17 and 20 is huge, and that kind of lets you know that, look, if he can do it against them, then he can probably do it against just about anybody. And I think that you'll see other guys, you know, like just looking back at that Duke game, I think Sevier Wheeler has been really good for him, but I think at some point in that game, he kind of reverted back into, like, Georgia Sevier Wheeler, and yep. I need to do everything myself. He needs to just kind of trust his teammates. You know, I think Ty Washington was he was just forcing some things in that game. Like, he'll kind of settle down. So I think, you know, for them, it's really, you know, it's not about so much about Oscar Tshiebwe. It's about other parts and everybody kind of buying in and playing and trusting your teammates in your role.
Let's talk a little Louisville then. I was in Arizona. I did watch. I have rewatched the Louisville Furman game, but I also watched most of the final, like, 10 to 15 minutes of it as we were getting ready to go to rehearsal dinner. And Here's the thing about Louisville, and this is honestly like you can make the segue from Kentucky. Kentucky's shooting 45% from three so far this season. Louisville, to me, the biggest standout from their first two games, neither of which were good performances, and then the switch to the Navy game, was their three-point shooting. And look, I recognize that people are concerned about the rebounding. I think that's something that certainly needs to get better. I think Louisville's defense, guarding drivers and having that gap help defender also being alert and aware of their role is a big part of this process, and not having Chris Mack coaching the defense in practices as he does. Those are all huge factors for this team, and will be things that as you're plugging in eight new guys, seven of whom are healthy, into a system, you're going to expect some growing pains. But to me, you're not going to see Louisville shooting 25% as a team from three very often, and they happen to do it in two games. And that, to me, was such a big difference maker against Navy, was they were still getting a lot of good looks, and this time they're knocking them down. And then when you added in just a little bit more intensity, a little bit more defensive pressure, I thought it was a bounce-back game for them, and possibly shows you a little bit closer to what they want to look like versus those first two games.
No, and I agree with you. I mean, I was on the floor for the Furman game, and then obviously I was on the floor again for the or courtside for the Navy game. So, yeah, you're 100% right. But I will say this. You still have to be able to get on the backboard, you know, better than what they've been able to do. You know, because with this team, when they're knocking down threes, they're going to be really good. But, and let's be honest, we've seen a lot of teams in the history of the NCAA, when they don't hit threes, they're completely different. And yep. So, you know, you still have to be able to overcome that a little bit. I'll tell you what I thought the biggest difference between Furman and Navy for me, and it was actually at the beginning of the game, Malik Williams. I thought at times, you know, he gets kind of, you know, inside and in the paint, and he kind of struggles to finish. Against Navy, he was finding teammates. Mm-hmm. He was getting in spots. He was, you know, and next thing you know, he's making great passes. He's getting them open shots. You know, if he can become, you know, in the middle of that offense, if he can become a facilitator for them, because he's such a smart basketball player, like, I think that he kind of can change the dynamic of what that offense is, because, as you know, Ellis really is the only guy that can completely break down a defense. You know, they've got to do it in different ways, and he gives them such a good option to be able to do that when he's dishing where he was in that offense, especially at the start of the Navy game. I thought his passing kind of got them going, and then I'm just going to switch gears. I just never, ever anticipated Matt Cross being this at Louisville. He's the kind of guy that every team needs. Here's what I'm going to tell you. And nobody, everybody that watched him at Miami that saw just a guy that wanted to shoot, he's a guy, you don't want him to punch somebody, but he might.
But he might,
and,
yeah.
And every team needs a dude like, you don't know what he's going to, you know what that guy is? He's the wild card. But Cross has been willing to get dirty. He's been willing to hit the floor. He's been willing to get boards, defend. You know, nobody saw this coming with this kid, and it's just been such a pleasant surprise to see.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He had 14 points in 15 minutes against Navy, you know, and got going shooting-wise. You know, when you tune into the Navy game on Monday night, you're thinking, okay, so Cross has shown a little bit of that attitude already. Jared West has shown you that he's a really good on-ball defender, and he can get his teammates fired up a little bit with his defensive presence. Where's the rest of the team in all of this? And I thought Cross doing a lot of the dirty work kind of just gave his teammates a little bit something extra to kind of lead by example. There was a play where L. Ellis bumped the ball loose. loose from his defensive pressure, and it led to a run, and I think it was a dunk at the end of it. It was either a dunk or a three. It was a big play on the other end, and he flexed to the bench, and his teammates went berserk. And that's something that we just didn't see in those first two games. And that's what a guy like Matt Cross can do for you, is to spur on other guys to be jerks too. And you want to be a jerk. In this system, look, I had Noah Locke on my podcast this week. It came out today, Floyd Street's Finest, if you want to find it on your podcast platforms. And he was basically saying, this is a work in progress for all of us learning how to play in this pack line. But they also are hoping to kind of better marry the up-tempo stuff that they're trying to play on offense with a little bit more of an aggressive defense, and they feel like the coaching staff has given them a little bit more leeway to get out and pressure the ball a little bit more, and that's where you can get a little bit more of the dog mentality out of some of these guys, maybe, is playing a little faster pace, creating turnovers, getting those runouts and dunks, and that is like music to so many Louisville fans' ears, because they've been begging for Chris Mack's teams to run a little bit more and to pressure a little bit more, and you can do that when you have guys like Cross on the back end of it causing issues.
And you know what? We're the same way as fans too, right? Like, we analyze every single game and we move on from it. But I think with Louisville, it's very much in a similar approach to what we kind of said, or what I said about, you know, Kentucky. You have a bunch of dudes who have never played together before. So not only are they trying to get used to each other, they're also, like, even the Louisville guys, right? They've never played in this offensive system. So, like, the amount of learning and adjusting on the fly that they're doing, you know, I would just always say, like, you know, to any fan out there who's watching the team or whatever, you're going to have to be patient, because it very much is just a kind of a work in progress. And, you know, as long as they're taking, you know, steps, you know, it doesn't even matter if it's baby steps. As long as they're taking steps forward, that's the positive, I think, that you hang on here.
Yeah, no question. And look, I mean, Furman exposed something that was kind of bubbling underneath the surface, that Louisville struggles guarding drivers, and the gap help is not where it needs to be. And again, I mean, this is where I think the Chris Mack absence hurts them a little bit, because that's where he's going to coach them up. But they've got a big test on Saturday. They should win comfortably against Detroit, but Detroit does have a big-time scorer, a guy who can take you off the bounce, in Antoine Davis, so that's going to be a good chance for them to kind of ratchet up that on-ball defense, that gap defense, and then Mississippi State has a bunch of those guys too, so an interesting couple of games coming up for Louisville. Ken, I appreciate your time. I've got to let you go here and take a break, but thanks as always for coming on, and I'm sorry it took me 45 minutes between the time you were buzzed in and the time I actually started talking to you.
I just want to let you know real quick, I played Neville Mead yesterday from 162 yards out, just hit a majestic 8-iron.
Wow.
That birds sang when the ball was in the air.
Wow. Love that. Rainbows just across the sky, unicorns flying. I love it.
All right, guys. Be good.
All right, thanks. That's Kent Spencer from WHAS 11, and I do want to get a little bit more into that this game this weekend for Louisville.
I think we can get one more round in before the year ends. You,
absolutely.
Me, Jeff, and Biscotti, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I am Jeff, so maybe Kent.
Yeah, what did I say? You, me, you, Greer, say, and Biscotti.
I am Greer. You're saying you, me, Greer.
You, me, youth pastor, and Greer.
That's still me.
I just want to hear you say.
Okay, you're messing with me. All right. Well, we'll take a break here. When we come back, I believe we have Lara Overton.
Coming up at 1:15, 1:45, Brett McMurphy.
Wow.
Talk a little bowl
that's
projections.
A packed show.
And maybe a one Tommy J heading to South Beach or Coral Gables, I guess.
Ooh, interesting.
Is it South Beach or Coral Gables or both? I mean, I know it's officially Coral Gables.
South Beach is very far in Miami traffic terms from the University of Miami. University of Miami is like kind of in a neighborhood. Everything is, compared to us, it's close to the water. But Miami, everything takes an hour to get anywhere in traffic. It's brutal. Anyway.
Florida is a weird state.
Yes, that is a fact. That is a 100% fact. Well, let's take a break here on the V Show. When we come back, we'll keep talking Louisville basketball, but we also have some conversations coming up about the NFL. We'll talk a little college football as well. All right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.